And for 7 years, there have been tribes who have just come and have swept into the country and have just wrecked everything, destroyed everything, killed everything, uprooted every crop and plant in the country. And that's caused major poverty, major frustration in Gideon's life and in Gideon's nation. And he's had a conversation with God. And we join this conversation where Gideon said, I'm going to go and prepare some food for you. This stranger, this angel of the Lord that comes to him and says, I'm going to come back and bring it to you. And this is the point that we find it in Judges chapter 6 in verse 19. And it says that Gideon went in, he prepared a young goat from an ephah of, and from an ephah of flour made bread without yeast. Putting meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And then the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and there he called it, the Lord is peace. To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abizrites. The same night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that's 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down your Asherah pole beside it. And he built the proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. Because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar, demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, who did this? When they carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The men of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son, he must die, because he's broken down Baal's altar and he's cut down the Asherah pole beside it. But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal contend with him, because he broke down Baal's altar. Now all the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had joined forces and had crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abizrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you've promised, look, I'll place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only in the fleece and all ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And that's what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and he wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me. Just let me make one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. This morning, I want to spend a little while just thinking about the cost of creating a crossover community. As we as church are thinking about what it is to claim our inheritance in this year of 2015, and one of the things that we've said as we began to unpack some vision together is that we have a covenant community of Christians, we have a local community, and in the middle where the two worlds, if you like, collide, need to be this crossover community where faith meets those who are searching, those of no faith, those of different faith, and where the Christian faith can come, where we can bring God's light, God's love, God's influence right there in the middle of all that's going on in our world. Because who knows, that's our commission. That's why the moment we get our ticket to heaven, we're not taken straight up there. It's so that we can be active and engaged in this crossover community, reaching out, displaying, showing God's love. And you know, it's not easy. But you know, it's also the easiest thing in the world. It's difficult because often the battle is inside us. And we're going to see from Gideon's life the battle and the conflict that he had inside of having to do the God thing, having to do the right thing, you know, and also how easy it became for him to step up and step into all that God had in store to him, in store for him. If ever there was an Old Testament account of wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and God would shine on you, then it would be Gideon. Now, I've changed Christ and God, because obviously we're in the Old Testament, New Testament. I'm not being heretical or anything like that, okay? But this sense of waking up, this sense of becoming alive to the plan and the purpose of God, to the fact that God has got an opportunity for us to move into, that God has got an inheritance for us to claim, God has got an inheritance for Gideon to claim, but he needed to wake up to that purpose. Bible word, revelation. An unveiling, an unpeeling of his of a blindfold that's covered him until he begins to see God's vision, God's plan, God's purpose for his people. For him, but also for his people. It's that moment when he receives that incredible invitation to partner with God, to deal with his frustration, to build his faith, and to bring freedom to others. Wouldn't it be good that if in our life and in this year and maybe even at this time and at this moment right now that God extends to us his incredible invitation to partner with him in this thing called the kingdom of God? Wouldn't it be fantastic and brilliant with all the frustrations that we maybe have inside as we read all that's going on in the news? As we look all that's going on in our world, as we look maybe all that's going on in our life and in our circumstance, and that mumbling and grumbling that goes on of saying, how come God? Why not God? When God that Gideon had? Of seeing that kind of thing, dealing with frustration, allowing our faith to be built up in God because it's got nothing to do with us, everything to do with him. But at the same time, it's got everything to do with him and everything to do with us. Because we need to be living in it. We need to be moving in it. We need to be active in our faith, as we're going to see from Gideon. And the purpose of bringing freedom to others, of seeing them coming in line with God's incredible adventure, of seeing them beginning to use the picture that was held earlier on, of clinging on to the rope of hope of God, of being connected with God and moving in God's plan and God's purpose for life. Now, here's the thing. Gideon's sacrifice cost him. He went away and he prepared a young goat. He baked some bread and he made a broth, a bit of soup. You know, it's always good to have soup, isn't it? You know, you get some soup. And he brought it to this guest, this visitor, this angel of the Lord. God in disguise, it had come to him. But yet, this is a time of poverty. This is a time where the enemy's coming in and is destroying everything and anything that's going on. It cost him. He gave out of his apparent lack. When it would have been easier for him to say, well, I'm just going to keep this for myself. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. You know, he gave and he gave sacrificially into God's work and God's plan. He brought food at a time of poverty. It's as though he'd apparent lack, but he couldn't afford not to because he was stepping into God's purposes. Folks, we could look at what we've not got. We could look at who we aren't. And could cause us to shrink back and say, well, that's all right for you, for them out there, but not for me. Gideon didn't do that. He'd received this revelation that we read about before. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But what was the first thing the mighty warrior did? He went and did some baking. He went and made some soup. He went and did a bit of butchery and killing this young goat to bring it as a meal. He prepared something. He brought something to God that was out of his apparent poverty. He found the resources to bless God. Often when we're going through stuff, the last thing that we want to do is bring a sacrifice. Often when we're going through things, the last thing that we want to do is bless God. But Gideon shows us, teaches us, if we want to claim our inheritance, if we're going to win the battle on the inside so that we can step into our inheritance on the outside, that we maybe need to bless God. We maybe need to move out of that sacrifice and that attitude that's there. There was a change in his priorities and in the pathway in life. It was no longer just about him. It was no longer just about him having enough for himself or his immediate people. You know, he changed things in his life. God went up the agenda. God became the priority in his life. He became the center of all that he was and all that he could do. He was willing to face the cost of persecution from friends and from family that maybe in the surface didn't understand what he was doing. But he was willing to do it. Why? Because it's more important to know that he's got the favor of God than the yes of man. And in our lives, we begin to step up and step into God's plan, God's purpose, God's inheritance for our life. We need to realize that God will ask us, because remember, he was told to go in the strength that he had. No mighty ministry time. No hands laid on him. There's been no fire from heaven yet or the Spirit of the Lord descending on him. That comes way later. But he's to go in the strength that he had. Now, he might have been physically weak. He might have been spiritually weak. But he was to go in the strength that he had. Can we realize, church, that if we go in the strength we had, then it's out of maybe the place that we're living at right here, right now, but God wants to lead us from there. But how do we get led from there? In his hand, and one step after another. Which means we've got a part to play, a responsibility that's in there to move and step out. Gideon gave his best for God. That last verse of "when I survey the wondrous cross, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." How are we doing with our soul, our life, our all? Or maybe what are we doing with our soul, our life, our all? Has it been brought to God? Has it been surrendered to Jesus? Are we moving out of our poverty into the place of God's priorities in our life? Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, leave homes, leave businesses, leave families, come, follow me. Gideon's sacrifice, it showed and it demonstrated a public change of character. It showed what God was doing in the inside. Remember last week, Simon was talking about Pastor Simon Foster. If we want to go further, then we first need to go higher. And the higher starts in the inside. It's about what God, we allow God to do with our character, with who we are, with all the stuff that goes on in our head and in our heart. Well, Gideon had a higher before he went further. He met with God. But people saw the going further on the outside when he began to do great things for God, dangerous things for God, risky things for God. But he let the seeds of frustration become the bread of blessing. He went from being in that man who was threshing wheat in a wine press, doing something that was, you know, going to get very little return. Those seeds of frustration and moaning and groaning at God, where he actually went to that place of allowing a blessing, baking bread, that it would bless God. His sacrifice cost, but his sacrifice was acceptable. He stepped up. He was willing to bring an offering. He stepped down. This man who had servants that we read about that he takes with him when it comes down to tearing down Baal's altar. So he had people who he could send to go and do the business for him. People who would have been able to have baked bread and prepared broth and prepared a goat. But yet he stepped down. He had servants, but he did the manual task, that personal preparation before God. And then he stepped out. He built an altar. He broke up another altar. And then he built another altar, as we read about earlier on. Are we stepping up? Are we stepping down? Are we stepping out, church? Are we willing to bring our offering to the Lord today? Regardless of how we feel, regardless of what the world's opinion of us, are we willing to listen to who God says that we are? Are we willing to move on his yes and to bring out of what we do have or what we even believe that we don't have? Are we stepping down? Are we willing to take a step down into the good news and into the kingdom of God, where it's not about us, but it's all about him? Are we willing to step out where we're going to build some things for God? We're going to tear down some things that aren't godly, that's in our life, that's in our sphere of influence, and we're going to build something that everybody's going to see, that's going to bless, and that's going to praise God. Because Gideon was in the process of building up and tearing down and building up. We read in verse 23 and 24 that after this angel of the Lord extended the tip of his staff and fire came out and consumed this offering that was supposed to be there, all of a sudden Gideon's like, oh, this is a God moment. This takes it to another level. You know, I don't know what was going through his head when the angel of the Lord was saying, the Lord's with you, mighty warrior. Maybe even at that point, you just think, yeah, he's just being nice. Yeah, he's just paying me a wee compliment. But all of a sudden, he's in another zone now. He's in another place. It's a moment of revelation. It's a moment of encounter. And he's like, oh, I'm going to see the face of God. That's not good news for me. I might die. But yet he's told that God is with him and that God is for him. And in verses 23 and in verse 24, we just read, the Lord said to him, peace, don't be afraid. You are not going to die. Now that's good news for us this morning, isn't it? Peace of God. No fear. Not going to die. Sounds like Jesus. He brings a peace in our lives when we come to him. We don't need to be afraid and fearful of anything in life. We can have awe and reverence of God, but we're not going to die because we know eternal life. It goes on and on and on. That's good news. So Gideon builds an altar. Gideon knew the peace of God when he encountered the fire of God. When something from heaven touched his life, the offering, his sacrifice, all of a sudden, things became clear. Those moments where God's power is released in our lives, in our circumstances, in our surroundings, and all of a sudden, everything falls into place. He knew the peace of God. The persecution's still going on. The problems are still there. But something changes in his heart. Something changes in the word that Simon would have used last week, his posture before God. He knows it's no longer about the problem. It's about the peace of God. Because his offering, his sacrifice was acceptable. Let me ask you, church, what is your acceptable? What is your reasonable act of worship and of sacrifice before God? We're no longer in a system of bulls and goats having to be sacrificed. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the one who's paid the once and for all sacrifice for us. But we're still in this place of sacrifice and of worship, of bringing our offering before God. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul speaks about what our acceptable sacrifice and worship is to be. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do we want to know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will? Yes, yes, we do. There's some things we need to do. We need to view in view of God's mercy. We need to have a view of God's mercy, understanding that the sovereign God, creator of the world, has made a way for us to know his mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ, death and resurrection. We need to begin to come and to offer our lives. We need to begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to make sure that we will not be conformed. That's being pushed into a box. We will not be conformed to the standard and the pattern of this world. We will not let the world conform us and push us in and say, this is who you will be and this is what you will do. This is what you won't do. We're going to break out of that. Why? Because we've got inheritance. Because we're part of a kingdom that is unshakable and that is unstoppable in God. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of will not be able to stand against it. We need to renew our mind. And that's perhaps the biggest and the most difficult thing that we could have, renewing our mind, where we don't just see things rationally, where it's not just a case of if we can't work it out, then we don't want to know about it. Where actually we're saying, God, we allow you to change our mind. We allow you to change our mindset. We allow you to change our hearts so that we want to see things the way that you see things. We want to react with the way that you react when you see some of the stuff that's going on in the world. I heard some statistics during the week concerning, they say there's 60,000 students in Edinburgh at any time, and they reckon that only 1% of them are connected with church. 1%. Heard another statistic that says in Edinburgh / the Lothians of something like 800,400 people. 804,000 people, that sounds more like it. And only a tiny percentage of them are actually connected to church. That every church in the Lothians could be filled to overflowing, and there would still be a huge swathe of our city that wouldn't know Jesus' love. They wouldn't have heard that Jesus died for them. What an opportunity. What a responsibility. What an inheritance. We need to step up. We need to step down. We need to step out, church. The lens that we view our acceptable sacrifice is through the cross of Christ, the blood of Jesus, his death and his resurrection. Our response becomes surrender. Who we are, surrender in what we do, surrender in what you have, so that you would know his purity, his purpose, and his power in your life. This is your spiritual and reasonable act of worship. Let's nick back to Gideon's altar. There's no way I'm going to get through all of this morning. Back to Gideon's altar, verse 24. The Lord is peace, literally, Yahweh Shalom. He named it, put a name on it, because he wanted the world to know what God had done in his life. He was willing to publicly testify and saying, here's a moment, here's an occasion where I have met the living God. Are you telling the world what God's doing in your life? Are you seizing the opportunity? I went into the shop to get the gifts for Mother's Day. And when I was on my second round of getting stuff, the girl behind the till says, are you clearing me out? I think they must have thought I was setting up a shop somewhere where I was going to, you know, sell them at a profit. I said, no, it's for gifts for Mother's Day. And she said, for one person? No, it's for a church. It's for Mother's Day, gifts for Mother's Day for a church. Church? Do you go to church? Oh, that's cute, was her response. Yeah, I mean, I remember the day when they maybe said about me that I was, back to, but you know, began a wee conversation. I used to go to Sunday school till I was about 9. I said, why did you stop? Said a response, you should start going again. Not to Sundays, but to church. Oh, nobody buys me chocolate. Said, you should come to church. Where's church? Up at Holy Corner, connected with God. Do you think that would be a good thing to do? I think there's no better thing that you could do in the world, being connected with the love of God. And if you get a free box of Maltesers thrown in, then all's the better, isn't it? But being able to talk about what God is doing in our life, being able to take and share the opportunities that's there every single moment of every single day. You see, the Lord's peace was a present reality for Gideon, but it was also a prophetic statement for the nation, because they didn't know peace. But they were going to go in a pathway that was going to lead to experiencing the peace of God out of their persecution, out of the problems that they were facing. In a time of war, in a time of destruction, a time of upheaval in the world, Gideon was able to walk in the shalom, the peace of God. I want to say, whatever it is that you're facing, if God does it in the inside, you can walk in the peace. And the shalom means peace, it means wholeness, it means the absence of conflict and war, it means well-being, it means prosperity, it means friendship. All of it. He's a man of peace, but he's also a mighty warrior. And it's the two sides of both coin. We know the peace of God, but we are active in pursuing, you know, God's kingdom, God's plans, God's purpose of ridding, you know, the land and whatever it is, our people group, the people we're concerned of the enemy. Because sacrifice leads to service. It needs to be more than I'm all right, Jack. Gideon could have just said, well, I've got the peace of God. I'm on my way back to my wine press. Thank you very much. I'm just going undercover. I'm going to hide. I'm going to just be me. Let me know when it's all over. I'm just going to rest in the peace of God. Can I still hear the sound of war? Is that a Midianite tongue that I can hear going in the background? No. Peace enabled him to access the power of God, to enable him to fulfill God's plan for his life. He didn't set up a series of revival meetings. He didn't shirk back. But that same night, he went and he dealt with some of the stuff that was wrong in his family and in the stuff of his father's family. He ripped down some altars. Altars speak in the Bible of places of challenge, places of sacrifice, and places of encounter. Reminders of grace, reminders of signposts and encouragement to herself and to others. And God got Gideon to build that up of peace, and then he went and said, for some areas that were unacceptable, some areas that were following false gods, said, you need to go and you need to sort it out. He put his house in order. He put his personal house in order, dealing with frustrations. Now he's beginning to put his family and his community's house in order. They'd set up some altars to some false gods. Actually, the gods of the tribes that were opposing them were the altars that they'd set up of the Midianites and the other eastern peoples that were there. And Gideon goes and deals with it. Because there's no point saying, God, we want to be free of an enemy that's there if somehow the enemy's in the back door because of what we're worshiping, what we're giving place, what we're giving priority, and what we're giving praise to. Can we just stop for a moment and think about our lives? What is it that you give priority, place, and praise to? Are there altars to things that aren't of God? You see, if the answer is to those three things aren't Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus, then maybe, just maybe, you need to check and see where the altars are in your life. Baal and Asherah were the god of thunder and war and the goddess of fertility. People are looking for an end to conflict. They're looking for crops to be returned and for animals to be able to survive. And they're praying to the wrong things. They're worshiping the wrong things. They're worshiping the system of the people that's invaded their land. Are we honoring God with everything? Is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? Is that the name that's on our lips? Is that all in who we're worshiping? He dealt with his family's sin ties that gave him a right to speak into the sin of the nation and the enemy that was invading the boundaries, invading the inheritance, the land that was theirs. See, spiritual problems require spiritual solutions. He was empowered by the Spirit of God, moving out of that peace of God into the plan of God for his life. The word of the Lord was tear down, it was cut down. Literally, build an altar on top of this stronghold, on top of this area that gave the enemy right to wreck and to rob the people of Israel. And he said, I'm going to tear it down. I want to build a place of worship. Is there something in your life that might be stopping you from moving on in God? You've got a big enemy that you want to face and a giant that needs to be overcome, to use that terminology. You know, every year you seem to be going on in God, beginning to get so far, then all of a sudden you fall flat in your face. All of a sudden there is a problem. All of a sudden there is a cycle and a pattern of behavior. You know, every year, just at the moment of fruitfulness, the enemy would come, would invade the land, would tear down, would wreck, rob, and destroy. Can you see a pattern and a cycle like that in your life? If you can, maybe, just maybe, you need to look at some of the things that you, your family, have been involved in, some of the things that you perhaps are involved in, that you're giving place and priority to in your life. You need to tear down those things, wreck them, tear them down, break them off your life, and build an altar of worship and praise to God in the middle of it. But the good news is that whoever your family are, whatever they've been involved in does not rule you out of God using you. Because if it had been on that basis, Gideon couldn't have been used, because this was his father's altar. This was his father's Asherah pole. You know, he'd been involved in some wrong stuff, some ungodly practices, but yet God did not disqualify Gideon because of his past, because of his family history and heritage. The good news is that God does not rule you out, but what needs to happen is to break free and to live free. You need to renounce that thing of your past, your family. Let the Holy Spirit come in to clean you, to fill you, to set you free in the name of Jesus, and then to get on with the call and the commission of God. Holiness will bring hostility. Man did have a reaction. They wanted to kill Gideon. That's good news, isn't it? Pastor says we're going to stand up for God. We're going to tear down some things that are ungodly in our life or in our community that's around about us. You know, we're going to deal with some stuff. We're going to bring God into the picture, and then people are going to love us. No, they're going to hate us for a moment because he maybe didn't understand man's reaction. Get him. But yet, 5 verses later, when the trumpet call to battle and to war sounds, the Abizrites, the same guys that are saying, who's done this to our altar? We're going to kill Gideon. We're going to get him on behalf of Baal. They are the first people who respond to the call of God to say, come on, let's rise up. Let's rise up with God's call in our life and rid the land of our enemy having begun to worship. See, Gideon's life was impacting and transforming his family, his neighbors, through his testimony that was being lived out. Our mission field starts at our front door, but the transformation takes place behind that door. I want to leave you with a Gideon appeal that says all it takes is for all of God, to of all of you, to affect all the world. All it takes is for all of God, to of all of you, to affect the whole world. You take God's lead and see what and who follows. The revivalist Charles Finney said that the world is yet to see what God can do through one man totally surrendered to him. And by the way, the Spirit of the Lord only came on Gideon after he blew the trumpet. After he'd already stepped up and stepped out in the things of God. And lots of people think of Gideon as just the man who was doubting, who checked the fleece. This wasn't about doubt. This was about timing. He knew the call of God. He was rising up in that, but he wanted to know the perfect timing of God, saying, is it right now that I'm to step into ridding the land of the enemy? He was confirming God's green light that he already knew in his life. You see, it was too late for doubt. He'd asked for a clear supernatural sign, something only God could do, that would prove that God is for me, that God is with me, that God would use him for God's glory and for God's plan. Let me ask you, what do you need to ask God about? What's going on in your life? Where do you need to know that God is peace? Where do you need to tear down some altars and rebuild the altar to the Lord? Would you stand with me, please, church? In a moment, we'll sing our closing song. We'll go back into our week and back into our communities, our local community, those that we influence, those that we come across, those that would seek to influence us. And as we do that, will we surrender afresh? Will we bring our offering to God? Maybe the task seems overwhelming, too much. And God wants you to move out of that place of peace or into that place of peace that he can use you with his power. Change some things in the inside in order that he can use you in the outside. Maybe today you need to go higher in order to go further. You're waking up to God's plan and God's purposes for your life. If that's you, then let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you're in charge. Father God, I thank you that you can see in each and every one of us often things that we can't even see in ourselves. Father, I thank you for words of affirmation, words that confirm your plan and your purpose for people. Lord, I thank you for that word for over Gideon's life that said, the Lord is with him, mighty warrior. Thank you, Lord, that his life was not written off because of circumstances or surroundings. And Father, as we look at our lives, as we look at our surroundings, as we look at our circumstances, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that that same spirit that descended on Gideon that said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, would rest in our lives. Lord, I pray that now out of our apparent poverty, out of what we've not got about who we are, Lord, that we will come who we will be in you. Lord, that we bring the offering of our lives and we lay it in the rock before you right now. Father, we ask for the sacrifice of our lives, that the fire of God would touch it, the fire of God would consume us, and that your peace would descend upon us. Confidence in you. Lord, help us to see where the enemy has had place in our family, in our lives. Lord, help us to tear them down. Help us to dismantle their place and their authority. And Lord, we want to give you place. We want to give you authority in our life. Lord, help us to be a rallying call. Let your Spirit fall on us in a new and in a fresh way. Father, I thank you that we don't live in the Old Testament. We live in New Covenant times where the Spirit of God isn't a one-off occasion for individual plans and purposes. Father, I thank you that because Jesus ascended into heaven, that we have the Holy Spirit resting in our lives right now. Thank you, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for the activation of your Holy Spirit plans and purposes in our life. We pray for more of your presence, Lord, that we would be changed from glory into glory. We'd be empowered to be your witnesses in all areas. We'd be taking down the altars to some false gods. We'd be building an altar of worship and of sacrifice and of love and of praise to the living God, to our King who loved us, to our King who died for us, to our King who is risen and who sits at the right hand of his Father in heaven. We want to give all glory and honor and praise. Father, this week we will come across people who are hurting, people who are needy, people who need to know your peace, who need to know your love and power. Lord, help us to give that away. Claim our inheritance in you in this city, Lord God. Pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Fiona, worship team, would you just come and lead us in a closing song? If you feel you need prayer in your life, maybe for healing, for sickness, maybe because you need to rise up into some of these things we've been talking about, maybe because you're just saying, I want to become a follower of Jesus.